Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week here. We're down on the road at my sister-in-law's house in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Sorry for the delay in getting the show to you tonight. Normally do it during the day, but we've got the remnants or whatever is coming of tropical. Well, I guess it's going to be Tropical Storm Debbie when it gets here. Maybe it'll be a depression by the time it gets here, but it'll be here tomorrow. And basically, it's already started raining. We're going to get like 12 to 16 inches of rain in the next 72 hours. So we've been doing a little sandbagging of a neighbor's house. They're out of town, help them out. So anyhow, the little bit of delay in getting today's show out to you. So sorry for that, but we'll have shows throughout the week. We've got two focused on the Wyndham Championship, and we've got one on the rest of the week, primarily around the Olympic Women's Golf Tournament. That's at Le Golf National, and that starts on Wednesday. So what we'll probably wind up doing is doing two shows tomorrow or a super show tomorrow, combine them together, depending on how you feel about it. Might just do two separate shows, because then that way, if you want to listen to it, cool. If you don't, then you can just listen to the Wyndham Championship talk, and we move on with life. We also have a couple of events. Otherwise, we've got the Korn Ferry Tour keeping their season going. They're close to their playoffs, and then we also have the Champions Tour. They're playing the Boeing Classic out in Washington State. That starts on Friday. So if we do a third show, that would be included in that one as well. So, Wyndham Championship this week, 156 players. We're at Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro, North Carolina, not too far from here. And it's a Donald Ross design. They've had this tournament at Sedgefield for, it feels like, basically 20 years in a row. It did move around for a time, but it has pretty consistently been at Sedgefield for pretty much my entire adult life. I really like Sedgefield. It's a golf course where you don't have to be long. In fact, I think in some ways being long is a penalty here, because it just isn't long enough to really try to dominate. And the way you would try to dominate it brings in a lot of potential risk, because there's a fair amount of water in play. Not a ton, but a fair amount. There's the angles. Just a lot of the angles of the tee shots do not reward a long hitter hitting it through play, and the rough is typically pretty gnarly. Not super long, it's just thick, nasty Bermuda, and there's not a lot of benefit. You know, if you miss the fairway at a lot of PGA Tour events, there's not a huge penalty. There's just not, especially when the grass is like a fescue or a bluegrass. I mean, bluegrass can get a little sticky, but a rye grass or a bent grass, like those types of grasses, they're, you just wisp right through them, and it's really not a big problem unless it's like 3, 4, 5 inches deep. With Bermuda, it's not that way, especially the stuff they've got down at Sedgefield. It can get really nasty. So it's worthwhile trying to hit the fairway. It is worthwhile trying to put the ball in play. That takes driver out of a longer player's hands, and the angles also don't, again, incline themselves to be really good for hitting driver off the tee. So that's why you look at the history of this tournament. A lot of players who are not especially long win here. Tom Kim, Siwoo Kim, Lucas Glover, JT Post, and I mean, look, just the list of guys, Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed. Look at guys who have won here, and none of them scream mega long hitter. So you have some opportunities this week to look at players who aren't quite as long. Some other things to think about this event. We have 21 of the world top 50 competing this week. The FedEx Cup playoffs are now the top 70, is the second year of that. And that means there's a huge cutoff. It used to be the top 125 got in. So all the top players didn't have to play, because they would automatically get in the playoffs. And if they had one decent week in the first playoff event, they moved on. They probably got to the last playoff event back in the era of four playoff events. Then it went to three, and it got a little bit tougher, but you still got in the first playoff event. And now you have 70-50-30. The big cutoff, this is effectively a playoff event. This is the fourth playoff event. And so if you're not in that top 70, you're worried. If you're not in that top 50, you're kind of worried, because then you have to have a good week in Memphis the following week, and that's not an easy golf course. So if you have doubts about getting in the top 50, this is the place to go do it. not TPC Southwind, in my opinion. So I think that's why you get a good field this week. 21 top 50 players is nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty solid. It's incredible for this event, especially where it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, where it was just kind of an afterthought. That is not the case anymore. That all said, let's go look at the top of the table. Let's work our way down. Sungjae Im's 14-1. He is the favorite. I really like Sungjae this week. I would pick him in one and done had I not used him earlier this year at the American Express, playing really good golf, horse for course, likes the place. Siwoo Kim's next best, along with Shane Lowry and Billy Horschel. They're all 22-1. I can like them for all kind of different reasons. Siwoo is a horse for course play. Actually, so is Billy Horschel. But Siwoo has not had the most consistent year. He makes a lot of cuts, which is, in that sense, the last couple of years for him have been incredible because he makes a lot more cuts than he used to earlier in his career, where he would just go on these wild swings and like miss five cuts in a row, then like finish third, and then T8, and then miss three more. You know, that's not who he is anymore. And that has led to more consistency in terms of points and money, but maybe at the detriment of his world ranking, which has gone down a bit this year. Lowry's a great pick, I think, 22-1. He does not have a good record in this golf course, though. It's like T51, T83. Like, not good stuff. And that leads me to believe he's playing this event for a reason. He likes this event. He just has, the golf course hasn't liked him yet, or he hasn't liked himself on this golf course. Horschel had a great run at the Open. Really thought he had a good chance to win at Troon. It would have been cool for him. He likes this golf course, plays well on it. This kind of lines up with his game, being a flusher. You don't have to, great putters don't tend to do, not that they do poorly here, but it's not as important of a skill. The greens are very tricky here. Very tricky. Almost understated in how tricky they are, but they are. And Lowry's a great putter. Great short game. Maybe not as great of a flusher. So that, you know, maybe that's the lack of a profile. Horschel hits, I mean, he's just a wonderful iron player. Not the longest driver of the golf ball, but long enough. And certainly not the best putter of the ball because he's got that crazy putting situation that he does. But all reasonable picks. Brian Harman's 28-1. I think he's a worthwhile pick, but I don't think I'm going to wager on him. Cameron Young is 30-1. Kind of feeds into this narrative of, hey, you know, longer hitters don't do so good here. That's where I'm at with Cam Young. He's had a very good back half of the year. Seems to have figured some things out, I think. But I'm not betting him here, and you can't convince me to bet him. Aaron Rye is also 30-1. I'd be much more likely to bet him. This is a shorter course. He keeps the ball in play. He has a good imagination. He's got a good short game. This could be his spot. Minwoo Lee is 35-1 with Davis Thompson, Christian Bezuidenhout, Jordan Spieth, Akshay Bhatia. They're all 35-1. Minwoo was not good in the Olympics, and he was mad about it. I don't think this venue lines up with him particularly well. Jordan Spieth has become just another guy, and that is such a shame for a guy. It's a three-time major winner. I think that I truly think this is an existential kind of watershed tournament for him. He needs to decide what he wants to be at this stage of his life. He can be very happy and be a three-time major winner and just kind of coast off of that for a long time, or he can get through this, try to become a more relevant player and do something through these playoffs and maybe be a relevant part of the President's Cup team, which I know sounds kind of silly because we all assume the President's Cup doesn't mean anything to these guys, but being left off of those teams at this point, you know you got a good chance being left off of the Ryder Cup team. So this matters. I think it matters. Davis Thompson's an interesting play. Won the Deer. Obviously is on the board now. I don't know if that was a fluke or, I mean, he played his way into it. I shouldn't say it was a fluke. He played his way into it. Had a good several weeks in June to lead into that win in July. But is that it? Is like that the pinnacle? What's going on there? I'm not convinced that he's going to go on some kind of tear. So I think those odds are too short. Christian Bezuidenhout, great player, great ball striker, could be very interesting here. Same thing with Akshay Bhatia, great ball striker. Probably feels like he's got to make back something a little bit here because of giving it up in Detroit. He had that win on his club, and he let it go. And I wouldn't be surprised if he plays well here. Cam Davis, 40-1, I think is worth a look. Luke Clanton, it's 45-1. Maybe that's about right. Tom Dietrich interests me quite a bit at 50-1. Had a very nice Olympics. Nikolai Højgaard also did. Robert McIntyre is 50-1. He's 17th player in the world. He's won twice this year and not in America, which is kind of interesting on the PGA Tour. This is a golf course I think that should line up with him. It's not exactly the same as what they experienced playing in the Canadian Open, but it's not that different either in terms of how tight the golf course is, the penalty for missing off the tee, similar green sizes and looks. I mean, Ross is Ross and Stanley Thompson, but very similar kind of design. He could be an interesting guy to like here. Keegan Bradley's 50-1. Harris English is 50-1. Of those, I'd rather take Keegan Bradley, but I'm not convinced he's fully settled down from being named the Ryder Cup captain. Like, okay, now I've got to play golf. I have to have my own career. I'm going to go do that. I'm not sure about that yet. Matt McNeely's 55-1. There's so many people betting this guy, and I think for good reason. I think he can get wins. He's also changing caddies. So he has left Travis McAllister. Travis is a guy I know. He's a friend of mine. He's a good dude, great caddy, and they've kind of basically split ways after 7 years. Mavs have, I believe, his brother come in for this week and the stretch of the playoffs. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was just kind of like a different change of pace, and maybe that leads to the breakthrough. I don't know, but 55-1 feels like a decent number. Kitayama, 55-1. Vegas, 55-1. Johnny Vegas just won. I can't believe that actually happened. But he did just win, and he still needs some points. Still needs some points for the playoffs to make sure he gets in. So I think he's 69 or 70 on the number. Just so you know, in the current standings, Grayson Murray is in the standings. He has not been removed from them. So the 71st player in the points list will get in. So that does mean something here. The top 71 get in. This is just kind of a way of paying respect to Grayson Murray and obviously winning this year. So there's that piece of it. But just know that about if you're trying to do tabulations about FedEx Cup and who gets cut off and all that type of stuff. That matters and that is relevant. So you know that. Keith Mitchell is 60-1. Justin Rose is 60-1. I think Rose is kind of an interesting pick here. Again, kind of a ball striker's course. He's a ball striker kind of guy. Hasn't had the best year. Hasn't had the worst year. Poston 60-1. Eric Cole, I think a lot of people are going to like here at 60-1. I think for good reason. I think he's worth a play. Doug Gim's been on a little bit of a run at 60-1. I would look at Nick Dunlap at 70-1. He's figured out how to be a professional pretty quickly. He's won twice this year on tour, once as an amateur, once as a professional. Mm-hmm. First person to ever actually do that, win as an am and a pro in the same season. I think he's at an interesting play. I like Steven Yeager, but I think he's too long for this golf course. Dunlap's long. I just feel like he can dial it back a little bit more easily. I don't know why I think that. I just think he can. Denny McCarthy has played this course historically well. At least three times he's played well. It's tough to kind of go back on my theory of the case at the start of the show of saying, well, I don't think great putters and great putters alone are the ones that do well here. He's a great putter. He's not the best driver. I think you got to keep it in play off the tee, but he seems to like what he can do here. 70-1 feels like a fair value for him. It doesn't feel like a misprice. So I think that's worth at least a star to come back to. Victor Perez at 75-1 kind of intrigues me a lot. Just finished fourth in the Olympics. I know he's going to be tired. I know he's going to be jet-lagged and out of energy. But the guy really showed up at the Olympics. It was really, really cool to watch. Maybe he's got a little left in the tank to do something special this week. I don't know. I probably like him more at 100 than 75. But this is the field that we have here. Going down a little bit more, you get Will Zalatoris at 80-1. I've seen a couple of tweets of people going, hey, maybe I should bet Will Zalatoris at that high number. until he can demonstrate that he can putt, and maybe that means putting left-handed, but until he demonstrates he can putt, I'm not going to be anywhere near that guy. I wish him the best, but I can't in good conscience be near him. Mac Meisner, though, at 90-1, I can be near that guy. I really like his game. I think he can win. I think he can do it on this kind of venue. I think Patrick Fishburne can win on this venue, actually. And I haven't said his name once this year. I do kind of like him at 90-1, though. Just in case you're wondering, the ultimate horse for course for the week is Webb Simpson. He is 100-1. No thank you. Torbjørn Olesen, we talked about last week, who could be a potential good finish in the Olympic golf tournament, did a good job. He's 100-1 here. Don't love that so much as compared to last week. But, nah. I'm going to say no. Nick Taylor at 100-1. That guy just, his lines move so much. He went from practically unbeatable for a couple of weeks there to 100-1. Just very, very much an ebb and flow. Your defending champion's 100-1, Lucas Glover. Matt Wallace is kind of interesting to me at 100-1, but he's too unpredictable. Austin Eckroat won this year. He's 100-1. Ben Coles should have won this year. He's 100-1. Just maybe Rico Hoey at 120-1 has been playing okay golf. That I will mention Pearson Cootie here at 150-1. Had a very nice run in Kentucky at the ISCO. I think he's figured out how to play PGA Tour golf. Maybe too late for the playoffs this year, but that 150-1 is kind of calling out to me. So that's probably the extent of it this week. And you start to get pretty deep once you get to like Justin Suh 200-1, Davis Riley 200-1, Zach Johnson 250, Trace Crowe 250, Alejandro Tosti 250. Not just not playing good golf. Grayson Sig 350 is mildly interesting. That's probably about all there is to it. I mean, we could go deeper and uglier, and let's just say no thank you. The only guy I will point out here, and this guy doesn't even have odds to win, but Henrik Norlander is 126th in the point standing, 130th, excuse me, in the point standings, finished 126 last year. He's basically got to finish in third to get in the playoffs, but if you have a really good finish this week, you're practically assured of a card because of what happens in the fall. I wouldn't be against betting him 11-1 on a top 10. Just saying. But DraftKings right now, he does not have an outright number. It probably would be like 500-600-1. So just point those guys out. I typically think of this as a tight tournament. It's not typically a blowout. It can be, but it's not typically. It's usually a very interesting tournament. And if you're going to play winning margin, I'd look at one or two strokes. I'd probably avoid the playoff, but one or two strokes. So this is a tough week to find value because you don't have anyone ranked better than 15th in the world in the field. You don't have like that stray player who, for whatever reason, is trying to play this last tournament of the year. And so that means you have a good field because you have a lot of top 50. You have basically, you exclude the top 15, right? You've got 35 top 50 players if you take the top 15 out. And that means you now have 21 of the next best 35 players. But that doesn't mean you get great value because those are not regarded similarly in the betting world, right? There's a big gap in the betting market between a top 5 player, top 10 player, top 15 player, top 30 player, you know, in terms of betting markets. So you never have Sungjae Im to be less than 15-1, you know, 10-1 to win. There's too much variability in Sungjae Im. So if that's your top of the table, if that's who you think the best golfer in this field is, then it has to kind of follow from that. But you're going to bunch them up a whole lot more because players 15 through 50 in the world aren't quite as different as Scotty and Xander and Rory to number 4, number 5, number 6. There's a big golf there. And then to, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, golf there. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, big golf. It just gets bigger, even though it doesn't seem like it. So you're going to be hard-pressed to find value this week. I don't think you're going to be able to fire a whole lot of bullets here and just you know, find some misprices, kind of like we did with Ingrid Lindblad on the LPGA side, which looked good for 2.5 rounds, but did not look good after that. So there was a reason that we got her 200-1 instead of 33-1. 33-1 felt like an iffy number, but 200-1 sounded great. You're not going to find that misprice here. I mean, I highly recommend you try to look for those types of things. But I think if you're going to try and live with longer shots this week, you go after an Eric Cole. You go after a Nick Dunlap. You go after maybe a Victor Perez. Maybe consider a Patrick Fishburne or a Mac Meisner. Like, if you want to live there and just see if that gets home, and then maybe pick one shorter shot, you know, maybe a guy in their 30s. Like, I'd even like McIntyre 50, to be honest with you. But I don't see a whole lot of value in going for anyone less than 30-1. I could see Aaron Rye. I could bet that. I could consider betting that. But then you look at Zadenhoyt and Batia. They're interesting at 35. Tom Dietrich at 50. McIntyre at 50. I think you can find some players that are much more interesting of a value proposition, because they're not that different. You're not going to get crazy value, but the difference between Bob McIntyre, the 17th ranked player in the world, who is 50-1, and Brian Harman, who is 28-1. That's a mismatch to me, right? Brian Harman got to his point in the ranking because he won a major. Robert McIntyre got to his point because he won twice this year, and they're 22-1 difference, you know, plus 2,200 difference. To me, that speaks value. That's about as good as the value I can find. I will bet McIntyre. If you're trying, maybe that's a rationalization, but that's kind of where I'm at with it this week. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the model for the tournament. We'll talk about horses for courses. We did allude to that some here. We'll talk about current form. We don't have quite as much of that because not as many people played the 3M Open or the Olympic golf tournament for sure. Not many people played the John Deere Classic that are great players, but you had a lot of these players who are in that field. And then a lot of the players who are in this field certainly didn't play the Scottish Open or the Open Championship. So it'll be kind of hard to have a lot of continuity there, but we'll try to pick it apart as best we can. Leave me a comment. You can either do it wherever you listen to us as a podcast, or you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can join golfnewsnet.com for $40 a year or $10 for a week at golfnewsnet.com. Access all of our tools, modeling, features every single week, all of our database. Then also, you can follow me on social media or Golf News Net on social media. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We're at Golf News Net. Pretty much the same handle across social media, except my personals for Facebook and YouTube are Ryan Ballingy Golf, instead of Ryan Ballingy. Back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it. And we will catch you next time here on The Press.